Over the last couple of weeks, we have been dealing. Do we have any youth in the house? I see one, two, amen, three. Where's the third? Third, yeah, three. Everybody's in sanctuary today. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been dealing with the sermon series entitled, Are You New Now? You've been to church for a few weeks. You've been to church for a few months. You've been to church for a few years. And the question that I am so excited to ask you is, are you new now? Now, we've had three. This will be the third segment of this series. And the question that I want to know and ask you personally is, are you new? Have you asked yourself? Have you sat down and said, you know, we've been going to church for a couple of weeks now to catch this sermon series or whatever, or when we pop up, this is the sermon series that he's working through, and, you know, we might as well just ask ourselves the question, am I new? Anybody had a moment to self just to ask yourself the question, am I new? And see, the reality is that if you've been coming while this sermon series has been going forward and you haven't stopped just to say, just for a second, am I new? Then that could be an answer within itself. Ain't no way in the world you can show up someplace week after week, hear what the sermon is, and then not question yourself about yourself, especially if the sermon is about self. Amen? God has moved in this series in a mighty way. And my prayer is, not only does he continue to move in a mighty way, but in a way that is so effective that we see change in every person connected to this ministry. Never in Scripture, and I mean never, in Scripture did you ever see someone have an experience with Jesus and not be new and not see change. And I'm talking about drastic change. So we understand that Jesus is a change bringer, a change maker. He is a changer of things. I can't let this point go, because never has anyone ever encountered Jesus and stayed the same. Do you remember the story of Jesus getting off the boat and was immediately confronted by a demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs, and he cut himself with stones and he could not be kept in captivity? Every time they would lock him up, the Bible says he would break the fetters and he would run off and cause mischief and just drama in the land. And when Jesus asked the demon what his name was, the demon replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." In common usage, a legion was the largest unit in the Roman army. At that time, a legion averaged anywhere from 5,000 to 6,000 fighting men, though it could have been thousands less or thousands more. So the term legion refers to any large number of beings, a multitude. When the demon in Mark 5 said that his name was Legion, it meant that the demoniac of the Gadarenes had possessed a large number of unclean spirits. This demon-possessed man. Scripture says, in fact, it doesn't say exactly how many demons comprised the legion within the man. It doesn't say how many that he actually had. However, when Jesus cast them out, they entered a herd of pigs feeding nearby. Legion caused the pigs to run down into a hillside and into the sea, where they were all drowned. Now, the Bible says that the number of pigs killed was about 2,000. That detail suggests that Legion was composed at least of about 2,000 demons. The large number, now it could have been more demons, but it only took 2,000 of them to wipe the pigs out. The larger number of demons may account for the man's affliction, his untamable nature, and his great strength. But even though his strength was great, it was no match for the strength of God. Bishop, why are you sharing this story with us? You've shared it with us before, and I'm glad you asked. I shared this story with you for a couple of reasons. One, because I never want you to underestimate the potential of how bad one can get when one doesn't do, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, above all else, guard your mind. Some theologians believe that there were at least 2,000 unclean spirits in this man at one time. And I know that might be hard to comprehend or even hard to believe, but let's look at it like this. This is the part of church that we're going to call honest time, and then maybe in honest time we'll make our point. Amen? And the reason that I made a time for it, a name for it, is because people have become overwhelmingly comfortable about coming to church and lying about their condition. It's like going to the hospital, going to the ER, and you get your name called, and then you get to the back, and they say, "What's going on?" And then you say, "Nothing." Do you know that every Sunday that you come into this building, it should end with this whole altar being just taken out by people? Because the altar was always supposed to alter things. It was always supposed to alter you. You come to the A-L-T-E-R or the A-L-T-A-R to be A-L-T-E-R'd, to be altered. It was supposed to change something. Nobody, did you know this? Catch this. Nobody was ever supposed to come to church and leave the same way that they came in. The power of God was supposed to move mightily over every person in the church. And even if it was just, they just doing better, they still didn't leave the same. And so I call this honest time because I want it to be personal. That's, if you've seen the list that you were given, then it's personal. And I want you to answer these on your handout that was provided for you. And when you know that you do or have done this, check, put a check on the line. Don't be lying. Put a check on the line. It's going to prove a point. And don't worry about the people sitting next to you because seeing your answers, because most likely they trying to hide their answers from you too. So here we go. You ready? Do you lie or have you lied? Do you steal or have you stole something? And I put in that parentheses taxes, you know, because we that's stealing, y'all. That extra income credit when that baby ain't yours, that's stealing. When the cashier gave you back too much change and you knew it, but you didn't return it, that was stealing. That was not a come up. You were stealing. Amen. All right. Number three, looked at someone who wasn't your husband or wife and thought improper thoughts. You ever done that? This includes celebrities. Somebody said, does this include celebrities? At least we honest. Amen. It ain't really lust because, you know, it's funny that she said that because my wife told me this one day. She said this, Shamika, she said this to me. LL Cool J's little commercial came on and I was just like, look at it. I dare you look at it. And she says, this is what she says to me with her lustful self. She says, it's not like I can reach him. Which if you are a man, you know that was the worst thing that she could have said, because now we have a bevy of questions that we have to ask. What if you could reach him? We about four more commercials from a divorce. I'm telling y'all, y'all better pray for the pastor and first lady. Let's get deep. Let's get a little deeper with it. Number four, have you ever slept with someone that wasn't your husband or your wife, knew it was wrong, and you kept doing it anyway? Ooh-wee. If you have, I have ever. Yeah. Yeah, even in your sin. I'm proving a point here. I ain't judging you. You don't want to know the answers to my list. Number five. Jesus. Number five, you ever gossiped? Number six, you ever said one thing but did another? Uh-oh, here's a good one. Number 7, have you ever meddled? Oh, Lord. 8, have you ever cussed or cussed someone out? Beat on someone. Number 9, beat on someone that you know didn't have a win against you. Number 10, have you ever hated someone? Number 11, have you ever wished someone was hurt, dead, or had misfortune? I had someone close to me this weekend tell me, take him out. Take him out. Help us, Jesus. My wife finds that so funny. Isn't that? Are y'all praying for me? She wants me to be taken out so she can go find LL Cool J. 12. Oh, this is a good one right here. Have you ever done anything for attention? Mean, nasty, rude. Check, baby, check, baby. And I could have went on with my list all day. This is for a reason. This isn't for your, you know, just amusement. This is for a reason. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been in fornication, that's sex without marriage, and lied? Well, that's two demons. You ever done that at the same time? Fornication and lied? Come on, those ain't hard. That ain't a hard mix right there. That's two demons. You ever looked at somebody that wasn't yours and had an improper thought and you cussed? Not because of what you saw, but like, say, you know, cussing is a language for some of us. Amen? But you ever looked at somebody and like, I know that ain't mine, but she. And then, you know, and then you come over here and then somebody cuts you off in traffic and you say, you mother. Two demons. Well, what I'm trying to say is that, and here's the reality, if I'm being all the way 100, right? Some of us, we might not like the fact, right? We might not like this fact, but some of us have done all of this list at one time. And I only named, like 13 of them, right? But some of us have done all of this at one time. So don't you ever think that you are outside the possibility of being caught up with Legion. You try to figure out how somebody could be so foul, so messed up, so jacked up. Man, because we have an enemy out here that we are influenced by. And the sad part about it is when the church is guilty of being just as influenced by the enemy as the world is. That's a problem. Some of us in the room that have actually operated in all of these at once. Let me just go ahead and tell you, I have. There are some of us that have operated in a few of these at the same time. The point is, this small list are all actions of an unclean spirit. Okay? But here's the thing I want you to catch about the demon-possessed man. When he had the altercation with Jesus, he was immediately healed, changed, delivered, set free in his right mind. He was new. You see what I'm saying? See, the reason for some of us that we aren't experiencing this awesomeness that comes with a life in Christ is because, if I'm just being totally real, it's simply because some of us have just refused to become new. I can make it to church. I can make it to Bible study. I can have an auxiliary. I can do all of that. But one thing that I will not do is I will not become new, because new inconveniences my old. And though my old is destroying me, I like it. I like it. We in the church, but we not new. We on the praise team, but we're not new. We hold titles in the church, but we're not new. Pastor, preach, teach, but still not new. And until we make reading the word of God a priority, until you develop a prayer life that isn't just you begging for stuff, until getting in his presence is priority, until you experience Jesus, you will not be new. And it can be frustrating. And we are blaming on everything other than I'm not in the presence of God. Blaming on everything. This pastor, he be saying the same stuff. You know why I say the same stuff? You know why I preach the same stuff? You know why sometimes I bring series from 2 years ago back in 2 years later? You know why? Ghetto theologian Rakim once said this. He said, they was asking me how come the album was late. I was giving you time to get the last one straight. We don't need nothing new when we ain't got this down yet. How would she take us deeper? No, any deeper, you drown. This is leading you beside the still pastures. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. And there's all types of people groups with all types of reasons of why we have not experienced Jesus. But here at Growth Temple, the reason is clear. And there are just too many. And here it is. I'm going to give it to you. You ain't going to like it. And I ain't got nothing to do with that. I just deliver the mail. I didn't write it. There are too many people in this ministry that have too many other gods. Too many other gods. And those gods are real to you because you can see them. See, you know. The God of our salvation, he ain't that real because you can't see him. You see what I'm saying? Though if you was really looking in the spirit, you could see him every day, all day. But the reason these gods are real to you because you can see him, you can hear him, you can sex him, you can drink him, you can smoke him, you can spend him. Y'all ain't trying to be real with me in here. This has always been a problem at this ministry, at this particular ministry. I'm not talking about, I got nothing to do with all the other churches, but at this ministry right here, this has always been a problem. We sit in church singing to a God that we don't serve, but then return to the world and serve gods that we have adopted over the real true God. We'll sing to a God in here that we don't serve, and then we'll go serve a God that destroys us. Lord, make it make sense. And I promise you, with everything in me, those gods that you worship in the world can never deliver you. They can't regulate your mind. They can't heal you. They can't help you for the better. They are just there to destroy you. In fact, the gods of this world have one mission, and Jesus made it clear in the book of John, chapter 10, verse number 10, when he said, the thief comes except to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Now, we're going to have a minister's class moment. The thief does not come except to what? So stop. So never say again, the thief comes to kill, steal, and oh my God, it runs through me like a lawnmower just running over my body when people say, he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says, but I come that they might have life and life more abundantly. And I need everyone in this building to hear me and hear me good. Anytime, now get this, because this is a write this one down moment. Anytime you are presented with anything that is contrary to God's will and to his word, you have been targeted to be, as Jesus said, stolen. So, Ken, here you are trying to, you know, you're renewing your life. Everything is becoming brand new. You accepted Christ and all of this. You did what I'm saying. You've been baptized. You're walking this walk. And now all of a sudden, a thick Shonda Rhimes walks past you, and she got everything but the right thing on her mind. Guess what? There has just been a demonic hit put on your life. You have been targeted. Let's just see how well Ken will do when Thick Shonda walks by and she turns around and gives him the smile. And ooh, it looked good. Not understanding that it's a setup from the depths of hell. Write this down in your notes. Anytime you are presented being tempted to do wrong, you have been targeted by Satan to be stolen. Anytime you have been presented or being tempted to do wrong, you have been targeted by Satan to be stolen. And that word blew my mind, stolen. That word blew my mind because it translates to mean snatched. Stolen means, in the Greek, it means to be snatched. The word snatch is defined as to steal something or kidnap someone by seizing or grabbing suddenly. And come here, grandson. And then you can You can just be living your life. You understand? You just be living your life and be snatched and taken off. This is why we hold on to y'all in the Walmart, y'all, young ones. We hold on to you because there's people in the Walmart that just want to snatch you away. And you could be walking this Christian walk in church every Sunday and get snatched. Suddenly, taken away. You ever been snatched? Lord, have mercy. You ever been snatched? Oh, Lord, have mercy. And the enemy that we serve, he's so cold, he'll leave you here in the physical, but snatch you in the spirit. So you'll be sitting here looking like he's right here with us. He's right in church. He's getting everything that God is giving, but he's not here because you're not paying attention. No, he's been snatched. Thank you. Snatched. Kidnaps you spiritually, leaving you there physically. And you hear people say things like, you know that's happened when you hear people say things like, what's wrong with you? This ain't you. I'm going through a season right now of something dear to me being snatched. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I find myself having to take off my glasses sometimes and saying, this isn't the you that I know. Where are you? You ever been there but not there? Oh God, y'all ain't hearing me in here today. You ever been there but not there? I know that I'm here and I know what they're telling me. I know that they're saying I'm tripping. I know that they're saying I'm off the chain right now. I know that they're saying that I'm not working with my right mind. But I have no answer for the way that I am. But I am connected to some things that's contrary to God and His Word. I've been snatched. He has kidnapped you spiritually, but left you there physically. And don't nobody know what's going on with you. It's an indication that you've been snatched. And once snatched by Satan, his whole plan after that is to kill and destroy you. So let me say this again. If you are presented with some sin or tempted by something that you know is not of the will of God, is not His word, then there has been a demonic hit put on you. Can I just go ahead and bless everybody in the building and let you know, in case you didn't know, there is a hit on you. Because every day, all day, Satan is trying you in one way or another. You understand what I'm saying to you? And you just thought they was haters. You just thought they was tripping. You just thought you was cute. You just thought you had it going on. But the reality is, you're being snatched. Yeah. And the problem with the adults being snatched is that when you become snatched, there is no longer a defense mechanism for everything that's yours that's up under you to be safe, because you've been taken so everything you love can be taken. Lord, have mercy. And how you respond to Thich Chanda, Idris Elba, how you respond to that temptation will determine your next course of life. I want to give you some scripture. We're almost done already. Concerning being new, I want to give you some scripture concerning being new. And we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 24. But we're going to read them in the Message Bible because it slams home my point. It says here, no prolonged infancies among us, please. We'll not tolerate babes in the woods, small children who are easy prey for predators. God wants us to grow up to know the whole truth and tell it in love like Christ in everything. We take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us so that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. That word robust means strong in love. And so I insist, watch this, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd. The, oh God, can we say that? So I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. Ministers in ministers class. You remember that? But as for you, that's what the New King James Version would say. But as for you, but since it's the message, Eugene Peterson, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him. He wrote it like this. He said, but that's no life for you. You learned Christ. Hold on, wait a minute. He said, you've learned, you got no excuse. You've learned, you got no excuse. But for you, you don't get away. You don't have an excuse. You've been going to this God preaching, Bible preaching, teaching, church long enough. You got no excuse. You learned Christ. You learned him. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him. He says, now I assume. Now this is where it begins to get interesting to me, because he says, now I assume you've been paying attention. I assume that you wasn't just bored, didn't have nowhere else to go on Sunday, and you just decided, I'm gonna come to Grove Temple. I assume, Lord have mercy. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth, and you have, precisely as we have it in Jesus. Lord have mercy. Watch this. Since then, we do not have an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it and take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside, working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Let's go back to the front, grandson. Verses 14 through 16. No prolonged infancies among us, please. In other words, we've come to a point now. Well, we ain't got time for babies. Prolonged. You know what that means, right? You shouldn't be a baby by now. By now, you should be well into adulthood in the Word of God. And by now, I shouldn't be having to walk you by hand. You understand what I'm saying to you? By now, you should be grown up in the Spirit of the Lord. So listen, we don't want to take no babies with us, okay? Because babies will get you killed. Whew. Babies will get you killed. They're nice and beautiful and adorable in the physical sense, like that beautiful baby right there. This beautiful, she's just beautiful. You understand what I'm saying to you? But what I'm talking about, the baby I'm talking about is the 35-year-old baby. I'm talking to the 26-year-old baby. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm talking to the 45-year-old baby. I'm talking to the 54-year-old baby. I'm talking to the baby. I'm talking to the grown babies. I'm talking to the childish adults. You understand what I'm, the childish grown-ups. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he says, please don't come with us. And it's not that we don't want you to go. We just don't want you to go as a baby. We want you to walk through this thing grown up in the Spirit. And then he says this. He says, we'll not tolerate babies in the woods. Small children who are easy prey for predators. How many of you been coming to this church for a year? At least a year. Ain't no way in the world. You're supposed to be a victim to nothing. Let me tell you something. You look around here and you see more seats empty than you see seats in them. You know why? Because I teach you not to be a victim. And then I don't accept victim status. I got issues with victims. Yeah, you better go on over to Candyland Christianity around the corner and do it over there, because over here we expect you to be grown about your spiritual walk. Amen? And then it says, let me tell you something. I didn't think I was going to tell this story. I was in a meeting this week, and I've been in a meeting every week with this lady. We're getting ready for our fatherhood initiative in Douglas Park. And this lady, she's 70 years old, and she says, listen, I know we're coming down to the wire. I know, but let me tell you something. On this day, that day, and this one right here, I can't be there because I got Bible study. 70 years old, and you listen, I'm drawing a line in the sand. I'll help you, and she's top dog in what we're doing, and she said, I'll help you, I'll volunteer, I'll get everything that you need to go the way that it needs to be, but I will not miss Bible study. 70 years old. I became, and I know the Bible says that we shouldn't, but I did. I might as well tell the truth and shame the devil. I became envious of her pastor. I said, are all the members in your church like you? You mean tell me you won't miss Bible study and we got to get this thing done and we ain't got but a little bit of time? I'm not missing Bible study, Pastor. That's important. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, and so, but give me this one. I ain't talking about in this church. I promise you I'm not, because I ain't scared. If I was, I'd tell you. But I ain't talking. But I know some 70-year-old babies. I know some 70-year-old babies. They ain't coming nowhere near the church. And if they do come to the church, it ain't for Jesus. It's just for something to do. You understand what I'm saying to you? He says these type of people become prey for predators. Now, the problem in the church when they're prey for the predators. So you see, you can bring a 50-year-old baby into the church and it could be prey for the predator. But the problem is, since it's prey for the predator is usually using the prey to make more prey in the church. Oosh, Lord, have mercy. You know the type to come in church and it's all type of, you know, everything's going on about the Lord. But you know, look at what she got over there. Yeah, pray for predators. Do you know that every time that you come to a Sunday service and you don't get anything from it, you've been snatched? There was a word that went forth, you just missed it. Now, God wants us to grow up, see, to know the whole truth, and tell it in love like Christ and everything. So what he's saying is, just because you got the truth, don't think you cute. When you share the truth, share it in love. Most people don't fool with us because when they're being witnessed to by us, we thinking we all that. Let me ask you something. How could you ever think more highly of yourself when the story is never about you? It is always about a man and a tree. Oh, God, y'all don't hear me up in here. And so we tell it in love, like Christ in everything. Give me the rest of it, grandson. We take our lead from Christ. That's the big problem in the 21st century Westernized church. We take our lead from men. We don't take our lead from the Word, but we need to take our lead from Christ. In other words, we don't go nowhere. None of it. We don't follow nobody's cadence except Jesus' cadence, who is the source of everything we do. Here's a question for you. Ask yourself this and be honest when you answer it, okay? Ask yourself this. Is Jesus the source of everything you do? It's getting hot in here. I'm going to ask it again because maybe you didn't hear me. Maybe I was hollering. Is Jesus the source of everything you do? How many of you understood? How many of you know, or did you know that Jesus expects to be the source of everything you do. Everything you do, Jesus actually expects you to run that by him. That's why it says, what's that verse? It says, acknowledge him in all your ways. You don't get to make a move until you've actually asked Jesus. Oh, God, who knew? Now we're going to see how many people are going to tell the truth. It ain't no shade, ain't no shame. I ain't tripping on you. But how many of us, how many of us ask Jesus about every move we make? Them is bad numbers. Could this be a part of the problem?
I want to feel what everybody else feels when they're in praise and worship and when they're in the church. And I want to be able to say praise the Lord, even though I'm going through 10 times of hell. I want to be able to do that, but I ain't going to be asking him about my life.
Come on.
I'm going to date this person, but I'm not, and I'm hoping this is the one, and I want this to be forever, but I ain't going to ask God about it. I just want God's blessing.
You can date a whole mess, and you asking God to bless it. Make it make sense. You know, can I talk about your job? Can I talk about your job? You know, Sonya's been wanting to shift in her career. I mean, be in the career, but she wanted a different position. She wanted to be out of where she was at right then. And this is so deep. And this has been, and then watch this. This is how powerful this is. This has been for like 4 years, maybe longer, maybe longer. But I've been hearing about it for about 4 to 5 years. You understand what I'm saying to you? But she ain't made no move. Now, she ain't made no move. The reason, and I'm like, well, make a move. She said, but God ain't told me to. Well, stop telling me about it if you ain't going to do nothing about it. But she's in total right. She's like, I'm not even going to fill out an application if the Lord don't tell me to. Right? So years later, she sends me a text and she says, I got a job interview, and I think I'm more excited than she is. I'm checking the next day what they say, how they go, what's going on. She's like, she's telling me patience, you know. And then she messes around and gets the job. You get the job, right? No, I know, praise God. You know what she had the nerve to say? You know what she had the nerve to say? Now I got to see if it's the Lord. You know, get out of my phone. Now I gotta see if it's the Lord. What do you mean? You gotta see if it's the Lord. You got it, didn't you? But I learned from that text. How many times have you been shown something beautiful? I'm talking about, ooh wee, it's shiny. Ooh wee, it's glittering. It's gotta be God, right? I'm in this church probably that type of thinking. I walked around this church. I called me and I said, get over here, the Lord has blessed us. We got to walking around here, bathrooms over here. Are you sure? Shamika, you remember you everybody would leave the altar call because they were trying to get to the bathroom because we had two but only one worked? Y'all don't know about the struggle. And we walk around here, the children's church got bathrooms. The youth room got bathrooms. It's a closet down here by Kim's outreach room. It's got a bathroom. I mean, Kim even got a bathroom. Everybody got a bathroom. This has got to be the Lord. You see these seats? You see how they're all going around so beautifully? This has got to be the Lord. And you know what our prayer was? This was our prayer. Lord, bless it. Because we're going to do it. Because it got to be you. I mean, what type of Satan would bless us with something like this? And I don't necessarily think that we're in the wrong spot. I just think that we came about it the wrong way. Yeah. Sonya's going to say, after 5 years that I know of, she's going to say, yeah, well, I got to see if it's the Lord. I swear, I promise, I almost took her ordination papers back. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, you guys? But do you understand why you got to do that, though? How many times have you walked into something that you thought was the Lord, but you didn't ask the Lord, and then you found out real quick it wasn't the Lord? Huh? Anybody ever been guilty of that? All right, let me get you out of here. His breath and his blood flow through us, nourishing us, that we will grow up healthy in God, robust in love. But the problem is with that verse right there is it doesn't matter if we don't receive it. If we don't receive his nourishing, If we don't receive his spirit, it don't make no never mind what we're trying to accomplish, because what we're doing is we're rejecting the one. You see what I'm saying? And as long as you're always rejecting the one, you can never have what it is that you're after. See, I'm promising you, I keep on telling y'all the formula. Do what the word says, plus don't do what the word say don't do. Is that right? Carry the one. Equals success. What does he say about the Holy Spirit? He says, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead us into all truth. Why are we still taking losses? I'm not even being funny right now. If the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, why are we still losing? Why are we still bumping our head? Lord, have mercy. Give me the next set. And we're out of here. Give me the next one. There we go. He says this. Get this. He says, and so I insist. He says, hey, maybe you should try it like this. He says, so I insist. And then he says something cold-blooded, right? He says, and God backs me up on this. So if anybody's got a problem with him insisting, what he's letting you know is, well, you don't really have a problem with me. You have a problem with God. If you have a problem with anything that I've said down here today, you don't have a problem with me. You have a problem with the master. Now, here's let me ask you this question, because I'm done. I'm gonna just close this thing out right now. How many of you have understood everything that I've said? Tell the truth. Then you know what? You are without excuse. When you just testified that you understood every word that came out of my mouth, God was sitting in heaven going, so you do? So you do. So that means if you understood him today, you understood him last week. If you understood him last week, then you understood him 7 months ago. Then why not the change? I mean, just right now, before God and all his witnesses, you just said you understand. So from now going forward, there's no excuse about not being new. No excuse. And if you're going to stay the way you are, then quit crying about it. Quit crying about what comes with the way that you stand. Yeah, you know, nobody want to hear that no more. I won't change, but I ain't. And this is why I'm hanging up. Because I want to talk to the people who want some help. You understand what I'm saying to you? Still in my time, working for Satan. What do you mean working for Satan? Anytime that you steal the pastor's time, you're working for Satan. Anytime that you steal the people of God's time, you are working for Satan, because that time could be somewhere else. Somebody else could be getting sold into. Amen? Amen. How many of you want to be new today? Did you know that nobody can stop you from being new? But you. You're the only one. You're the only one.